For over a decade, there have been a variety of Bitcoin spot ETF applications pending in the United States. All of them have been refused until now. Yesterday, the first batch of applications were approved for some of the world's largest asset managers. So what does this mean? And where's the world going from here? To help understand this in greater detail, we have someone very close to the matter, Ryan LaVar, Chief Legal Officer at WisdomTree. He's going to sit down and chat with me today to help us understand this space in a bit more depth. It's a little bit on the fly because today is a busy day, folks, but look, got it there for you. I hope that it makes the start to 2024 as fun and exciting for you as it is for me. I'm Benjamin Dean, Director of WisdomTree's Digital Assets team, and this is Crypto Clarified, a podcast where we help you navigate what is a very fast, complex, moving space. Before we kick things off, for those of you in the US, wisdomtreeprime.com, check it out, Apple and Android app stores. You in podcast land, I'm speaking to you. Hit subscribe, share with your friends. We love sharing. It's a nice thing to do. And then you can always find me on the Bird app at Benjamin Dean. Before we kick things off, I know you're looking forward to this. It's time for the disclaimer. Sam and James, this is for you. Before I begin, I must state the following. To clarify, the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of WisdomTree and are subject to change. Anything we present in this podcast is not intended to be relied upon as a forecast, research, nor as investment or tax advice. The information and opinions expressed in this podcast are those. They're not a recommendation, folks, offer or solicitation to buy or sell any securities, and reliance upon them is at the sole discretion of the listener. Please remember that past performance is no indication of future results. All right, let's get on to the fun stuff. Ryan is here with me today. We're going to cut to him, and I hope you enjoy the interview as much as I did. So I'm here today with Ryan LaVar, who is WisdomTree's Chief Legal Officer. And Ryan, it's nice to have you back. It's been about 6 months, and there's been a whole lot of updates and changes. Happy Bitcoin ETF effective date to you.
Yeah, we're very, it's a super exciting day. The last 6 months, I mean, if I just think about the last 6 months, it's been, even that has been a little bit of a journey. Even going back 6 months ago, I can't say I was on the optimist side. Normally I'm an optimist around us seeing the SEC grant, an effective registration statement to allow the Bitcoin ETF, and as well as the listing. There's two pieces there. Both of those really started coming together in the last few months, actually. And even up to a couple days ago, I was still saying, hey, it's not going to happen until it happens. And but it's great. We're right on the precipice here of having it open super excited.
Well, it's always nice having an optimistic chief legal officer because there's all kinds of obstacles and hurdles that have had to be cleared over the last few years, and especially, as you say, the last 6 months. Could you just give the listeners a feel for kind of what were those final obstacles that had to be overcome, and how now almost, a dozen different issuers have had their applications approved and effective?
Yeah, so it's funny. I'll go back a little further just briefly. I was on a speaking panel at Bitcoin 2021 with actually a couple of the other ETF or hopefully ETF issuers. And we were asked to predict if we thought that 2021 would be the year. And at that point, there was some optimism because the new chairman was going to be Gary Gensler of the SEC, who had spoken at MIT, had a class, and so, there had been hurdles before through that existing SEC administration, and so there was some real optimism. And if I go back then, I said, I think there's a decent chance 2021 is the year. And so what happened, though, is, we have a new SEC administration and, the similar denials continued. And that was really on the listing and trading side. And essentially, those denials were that there just aren't enough protective mechanisms in place to create a market that or a trading market that essentially would be resistant to fraud and manipulation. And ultimately the focus was on the spot Bitcoin market, and said there needs to be a regulated spot Bitcoin market of sufficient size to be able to trade. And that was really against, if you will, historical precedent, because if you think about other spot markets like gold in particular, those ETFs have been approved, and there isn't a, call it, quote unquote, regulated gold market, certainly not one overseen by the SEC, and not one at least as had been described by the SEC as they were requiring. And so a watershed moment, and actually it goes back a couple of years, is when the SEC allowed futures ETFs, and so Bitcoin futures ETFs. And so, they allowed the futures and then 100% futures. And even at that point, if I go back to November 2021, WisdomTree was the first ETF to have any Bitcoin futures exposure. We had a under 5% in one of our ETFs,
Around commodities,
GCC.
right?
Yeah,
Gold and commodities.
exactly. So that was super exciting in and of itself. And so the thought was, hey, we're right there. We're right there almost at the finish line to then have a spot ETF. And we chose at the time, only to have that limited exposure, because we thought, that it had the potential to be a diversifier in a portfolio. So, but we chose not to launch 100% Bitcoin futures product just because of the potential issues in 100% product. Contango, not tracking the price of Bitcoin.
Rolling costs.
We were very steadfast in the spot Bitcoin product really being the best execution for investors for 100% spot. And we were sort of leveraging the experience that we have, in Europe, with a successful product, with spot Bitcoin exchange traded in Europe. So very steadfast in that conviction. Fast forward then, it was a little sleepy. There was really no action from the SEC until they got sued, and they were sued by
That
Grayscale.
wakes you up.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a little sleepy, not much action, I hate to say. And then there's a lawsuit from Grayscale, and they said, hey, basically the SEC's decision here, the denials are just arbitrary and capricious, is the sort of magic words there. And a court said, we agree. We agree that you SEC have allowed these 100% Bitcoin futures products. They'll use essentially the same price source to price Bitcoin as the spot products would. You're saying that's subject to manipulation, but how can you allow the Bitcoin futures product then to roll out? And so that lawsuit, I honestly thought, my reaction at the time was, this is big. It's not frequent that the SEC loses, and saying that their decision was arbitrary and capricious, but the court left open the potential for the SEC to essentially add additional information to their decision. Quite frankly, I thought, based upon the historical 10 years that the SEC had been denying Bitcoin ETFs, that is the route that the SEC would go, that they'd seek to essentially continue to deny, come up with additional reasons. And ultimately, they had until really yesterday to make that decision. And so going back just 3 months ago, it seemed that, it wasn't clear what path the SEC was going to take. And it only became clearer once the SEC then started to comment on the prospectuses, that seemed to kind of clear the way, where they hadn't commented for a few years, to then comment and say, okay, we're going to comment on these prospectuses. And then you saw, ETF filers then filing updated S-1, some type of registration statement that includes the prospectus. And then it was really a couple months ago, and then you saw a flurry of activity from there on the regulatory side, updated prospectuses, every couple weeks, going down to the last few days in terms of every day an updated prospectus, to here we are, we're now launching this morning. So yes, that's That's the history. It's hard to believe. It's really been truly historic. I mean, just the historical, call it roller coaster ride. But then also today, we're excited to be, an issuer launching, but to have the breadth of other issuers, launching as well is also historic. Really our experience in ETFs, both having the experience in Europe, having a Bitcoin ETF in Europe for over 3 years, I really think is going to be a differentiator for us and our overall digital asset experience. Really looking forward to sort of, showing that, having that shine, out there in the marketplace. And then, as well as, seeing where this goes. It'll be an interesting, few months for sure.
It's funny, like listening to you, because of where you sit and the engagements you have. Like, there's the legal and regulatory side. I mean, I remember mining Bitcoins on a laptop like 10 years ago or something. And to watch something go from what was essentially a hobbyist kind of thing, you'd have to be a cypherpunk to really care, to get all the way to this point in this long, winding road. As you say, kind of a historic moment. One step I like to say along the adoption curve as things go from like the early innovator niche hobbyist thing through to eventual mass adoption. It's fascinating to watch history play out and get to have a little part in it. For the listener's sake, then, like let's step back a little bit and say, here we are on the 11th of January, 2024, and these funds will be tradable in, I don't know, 15 minutes. What does it kind of mean then? Because there's lots of ways to get exposure to Bitcoin, right? Do you have like any views or thoughts around how one should conceive the coming days, months, and years? What does success look like, or how should people think about it? Because everybody keeps asking me about like day one, what are the inflows going to be like? And I say, look, step back. It's a long journey. You've seen plenty of other kinds of products and funds and things launched over the years. How do you think about it? And I leave it very open. Unfortunately, it's an open question.
Yeah,
But
yeah.
I'm just
Well,
curious to know what you think.
no, I agree. I think that journey statement that you just said is key. I mean, if we look back on the birth of the U.S. ETF industry with the SPDR, it took a couple years for the SPDR to really take off, to really gain traction. Now it's I haven't looked at the assets lately. I think it's over 300 billion now. And it's now twenty plus years old. I think we'll see the same with Bitcoin. I think going back a couple of years, we've been hearing from financial advisors that, they have clients that would like to at least have a portion of their portfolio in an asset that can potentially serve as a diversifier. It's got to be the right client. Bitcoin's a volatile asset. There's risk there. But it can certainly serve its place in the right client's portfolio. And what's happened for those advisors is, they're trying to work with their client and understand the full financial picture, which many of them invest, maybe 100% in ETF allocation. And they're talking to their client. Their client says, by the way, I have Bitcoin as well, and it's sitting over here in my, personal wallet or on this third-party platform or wherever. And so really by now having the vehicle that is of choice for many investors, the ETF, I think will really help both from a financial advisory standpoint as well as just a general investor standpoint to have that access. The other thing too is the transparency, really all the attributes of the ETF. Every day the amount of Bitcoin that the ETF holds will be transparent. It will be on the website. Certainly, holding Bitcoin on your own can have some merit for a lot of people through your own wallet. But a lot of people don't quite understand that mechanism or don't want to. And so this is a way that they understand with traditional third party oversight from an organization that with our history like WisdomTree. It's sort of bringing all those things to the table. But like any new asset, I think it's going to take time. It's going to take time for really the marketplace to absorb it. Certainly a lot of the traditional ETF platforms are going to have to conduct diligence. A lot of that requires a bit of a track record, 6 months in some cases or some assets. I do think there will be demand out front, but I think it is, as you said, a journey. Today is the beginning, and it will become a journey. Not dissimilar, we had a floating rate treasury ETF. I think goes back 5 years, and you just think treasuries. That's pretty classic, plain vanilla. But that took a little while to gain a bit of traction, and now it's our one of our largest ETFs at multi-billion dollar funds. Could see something similar here. Certainly a much different asset, Bitcoin versus treasuries in terms of risk profile, but it can potentially have its place. We'll see where that lands.
Yeah, I'll be keeping my eye on kind of a rotation out of futures. At least we've seen in Europe over the last probably 24 months that the kind of they call them physical products in Europe, which is a bit ironic, but I guess the keys are stored on a physical server somewhere. People have been rotating out of the futures products and potentially into the physical or spot products because, as you say, it's kind of a superior vehicle, really. And that will take time. Like, people aren't going to, well, you and I wake up today and we have to think about it. But a lot of people are going to wake up today, realize this has happened, which is a counter narrative, actually. I mean, most of the past 24 months, everyone's been told like crypto's dead, is what the Economist said on their cover, which I have framed on my desk. And yeah, it'll take them some time to kind of wrap their heads around what's happened. Yes, it's new technology. Yes, it's now gotten to this point of adoption. Yes, there's a regulated transparent vehicle you can get exposure to. It'll take time bit by bit, but that diversifier effect is an interesting one. People argue with me about correlations. So much fun. Correlations aren't stable, but it does have that diversifier effect that is kind of unusual and rare. So, well, let's see how they wrap their heads around it. Look, it's an interesting moment in the United States because the last year, a couple of years have been kind of so negative and so acrimonious. And I mean, that's in the US. You go to Europe or Latin America, like sorry, well, I live in Europe. Go to Asia or you go to Latin America like I do, and people don't have the same hang-ups. But in the
Well, yeah, I
US, it
was
has been
surprised. I
done.
just did some travel over the summer to many Asian countries. I'd walk in, and Bitcoin is widely available and used as a currency. And I think, here in the U.S., being U.S.-centric, I think sometimes we lose that perspective. And also just other we're now getting used to inflation in the U.S., but not hyperinflation. And so, when I'm sort of trying to take my paycheck and a day later in some countries, I'm just, the value is just decreased. I mean, that's where, I think we're seeing other countries really lean into, something that can be, freely transportable currency, if you will. And so it's a great point that I just don't think we see in the US many times, which I was surprised at seeing, during my travels abroad. But really interesting. I mean, I look at it personally as, and I have, Bitcoin in my own portfolio as sort of my own liquid venture capital. It's I can have a little bit in my portfolio. If it's volatile, if it loses value, it may, and I have the financial wherewithal. But look, I see a future with it, and see the prospects. And for me, it's a good spot in my portfolio for a small allocation. That's how I look at it. But it'll be interesting to see how others use it. And I think having it just in an ETF is really a watershed moment, no doubt.
Agreed. So let's look at the US then and where things go forward, because a whole lot of people, their heads snapped to the right last July, I think, when one of our friends, cheerleader Larry, started saying Bitcoin's awesome. going forward, though, like this has happened now. What does that mean kind of for the digital asset industry in the United States? What do you see coming forward? It's funny, like sometimes perceptions are more important than reality with people, you know, paging Dr. Freud. But like going forward then, what would you expect? It could be in the ETF, like other cryptocurrencies. It could be just the kind of broader acceptance that open source software and distributed databases are a thing. What's your outlook then for the coming year or so around the digital asset industry in Europe, in the United States? I'm sorry.
Well, I think the natural next turning point is Ether. Second largest crypto. There are now ETFs that hold Ethereum futures. So if you think about kind of the history, ETFs were first allowed by the SEC to hold Bitcoin futures. And then, you know, some months later, Ether futures. So, you know, there's filings into the SEC for Bitcoin Ether products. So I do think those will be the next one that, certainly might get attention. I think, though, to me, the biggest thing is, you know, Bitcoin just being talked about more in terms of potentially gaining momentum and digital assets more broadly. But, you know, as an asset that's investable, and I think for us at WisdomTree, it's important because, you know, we're not only focused on the ETFs, which has been our historical focus, but, you know, we're bringing a direct to retail platform through WisdomTree Prime to investors. So right now, retail, I have an app on my phone. I can directly access Bitcoin. I can directly access Ether, and I can directly access SEC registered blockchain enabled mutual funds and work with those in one portfolio. And then we're doing a lot of other exciting things with respect to that. So, you know, I think that having these avenues, bringing more attention to the asset class is only going to, you know, at least, put a spotlight on, you know, how investors might be able to at least think about this new asset class in Bitcoin in particular.
Yeah, lots of exciting things to do and lots of work to do, Ryan.
yes, loads of work. Yeah.
Happy New Year. We've got a busy 2024 coming, but it's been a great start to the year. Ryan, thank you so much for taking the time. I know today is absolutely crazy, but it's really appreciated to have your thoughts and views on what is a always exciting and rapidly changing space.
Great. Thanks, Ben. Appreciate it. All right.
Thank you. Take
care. Right. Well, I hope you enjoyed that and happy new year to all of you. Ryan Lavar, Chief Legal Officer at WisdomTree, talking about spot Bitcoin ETFs in the US. For those of you in the US, wisdomtreeprime.com, check it out on the Apple or Android app stores. You can always find me on the Bird app at Benjamin Dean. I hope everybody's enjoyed today's discussion. I thought it was fascinating. But you know me, I find tons of things that are obscure fascinating. In the meantime, I look forward to seeing and speaking with you again next time. Have a great day.